The ending of that kind of reminds me of the beginning of Beethoven's Fifth. I'm available. Bum, 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 bum. Bum, 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 bum. It's probably why I don't have the gift of music. I just sit over here just dancing to myself and moved by the spirit that you all give us. Thank you so very, very much. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Did you all see on the TV on the clip about the teacher in China? Found his kid. There was a kid in his classroom that was sleeping. I don't know if you saw this or not. So the kid had fallen asleep in his class. So he gets the rest of the class's attention on him. All right, and he motions to the class, we're all going to start clapping hands. Okay? So sure enough, he gets all the people together. Clap your hand. You're clapping the hand. The kid wakes up and starts clapping his hands. Totally clueless that the joke is on him. You know, because everybody's looking at him saying, yeah, we saw you. You guys didn't see that. Really? Maybe I made it up. It sounded good. Do you remember a few years ago, Charles Hubbard? Charles Hubbard from Austin, Texas. He was a Vietnam vet. It was a few years ago. So anyways, Charles gets a letter from the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs informing him that he is, in fact, dead. And that his family, in addition, his family owes thousands of dollars of benefits that have to be paid back to the VA. And they've closed his checking account, you know. And obviously, he's a victim of identity theft. And after going through a great deal of trouble and extensive explanation, he finally was able to convince the VA that he was, in fact, alive. At which time, they said, it'll take 8 months for us to officially declare you to be alive, at which time your benefits will be restored. Now, I am telling you both of those stories because the disciples are kind of like that kid, you know? They don't know what's going on. They don't have a clue, all right? And Jesus is finding it very hard to convince people that he's alive, just like Charles. You know, see how that works out? It's Easter, and Easter means confusion and frustration and joy as well. It just means all kinds of different things for different people. And the way Luke tells the story of Easter, it's actually more than just about an empty tomb. It's almost a progressive dinner. Have you ever read the way Luke tells the story? Starts out in the upper room, then you break bread in Emmaus, then you have fish in Jerusalem. I mean, Jesus is moving around all over these different places, and people are always confused wherever he goes. He's not bringing clarity and certainty. He's bringing confusion to people. They don't know what to expect. They don't know where he's going to be next. They don't know. They just... You remember Emmaus, right? Remember Cleopas and his companion? They're walking on the road to Emmaus. Remember how that goes? Walking on the road to Emmaus, Jesus joins them, but they don't know that it's Jesus. They don't know that it's Jesus until Jesus sits at table with them, takes the bread, blesses it, breaks it, gives it to them. Then their eyes are open. Then they know who he is. Then they're able to recognize him. And then what do they say? Did not our hearts burn within us when he opened up the scriptures? And they run all the way, or they get all the way back to Jerusalem. They are witnesses. They are witnesses talking about how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. In the upper room. Remember, a few nights, you know, the night he's arrested, all right? The night he's arrested, Jesus does what? He meets with the disciples in the upper room. He shares the Passover meal with them. And he takes the bread and he blesses it and he breaks it and he gives it to them and he tells them, this bread is my body. This cup is going to be the new covenant of my blood. And because it's a Passover meal, Scripture figures prominently. It is not by any accident that when we worship at a table where there is bread, where there is cup, and where there is Scripture. They are the foundations of our faith. They are why we gather. They are what we are about. And in our passage today that Andrea read to us, Jesus is standing in the midst of the disciples. They're terrified. So Jesus shows them his hands and his feet. He asks them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" We get it. We understand. Ghosts don't eat. But is ghost busting the only reason why Jesus is having fish? I mean, bread, fish, doesn't seem much of an Easter dinner. Until we remember, that's right, there was that time. Remember the loaves and the fishes? Remember that? It's about the only thing all four Gospels agree on if you've ever read the Bible. Remember that, the loaves and the fishes. It's more of a picnic. Remember how that worked? And we remember that meal, and then all of a sudden we start remembering other meals. We remember him at table with Zacchaeus. We remember when he was with Simon the Pharisee. We remember when he was Martha and Mary. We begin to remember that Jesus seems to eat a lot. And yet it's never seems to be because he's hungry, except for his hunger that the people hear the word of God and know about the love of God and the grace of God. Certainly Jesus raised people to new life at those meals. And Jesus continues to be present, bringing new life to every table which the hungry are filled, the despised are loved, and the outcasts are welcome. Overcoming time and space obviously is not a problem for Jesus. We already see that in this scripture. Jesus can be in Emmaus for the bread course and in Jerusalem for the fish course. And at every table will we celebrate his presence. Preach his resurrection. Preach repentance and forgiveness in his name. And take the bread and the cup in remembrance of him. Jesus reminds us that it's not a philosophy we are dealing with, but a real and resurrected person. Our faith is not just about the teachings of Jesus. It's about the person of Jesus, who he is, why he was killed, and how he was resurrected. The disciples aren't just talking about the words of a late, great, dead teacher. They're talking about the living, loving presence of Jesus Christ and how they know he's alive because they are witnesses. We can't keep Jesus locked in a tomb any more than Rome could. Jesus comes to us. He commands us to be witnesses. Our lives, our words, our actions reflect our beliefs. Jesus gives us a mission. And the mission is not to create a support group that celebrates our own spiritual quest, our own private salvation. This isn't about us sticking our thumb in a pie saying, "Oh, what a mighty good girl or boy am I." We're given a mission to be the people of God, to go out, proclaim the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the continuing living presence of Christ among us. It seems to be able to happen at any table, this gift of resurrection, this gift of new life. Because with that resurrection comes a new understanding of Scripture. Remember how Jesus, in this account, opens their mind to fully understand the Scripture. The Scripture. Christ comes to us to do more than just share at the table. He comes to share a new and fuller understanding of the Scripture. Faith doesn't necessarily come from seeing a miracle, as much as it seems to come when the Scriptures are open to us. It's the table and the Word. Do you remember at the end of the parable Luke tells in chapter 16 at the end? The parable of the rich man and Lazarus. You might remember the way it ends. If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. Proper understanding of Scripture is the foundation of our good news. Jesus is making it clear what our responsibilities are. It's not just to remember when. We don't gather here for a history lesson. It's show and tell. Do you remember show and tell? Remember how that would go in kindergarten? Maybe you came in all excited because you were going to show something that you liked, that you loved, that was important to you. And you would tell people about it and why it was so important to you. And you would do that. And everybody wanted to hear why you were bringing that and what that was all about. We're not here to talk about the good old days. We're here to talk about the good news and to preach the good news and to share the good news, to show and tell that Jesus is alive, that we are witnesses to his living presence, that our lives, our words, our actions are going to give witness to what we truly believe about how God loves all people and how we're supposed to share God's love with all people. The miracle of Easter isn't just the resurrection of Jesus. The miracle of Easter is also the transformation of the disciples. It's the transformation of us. It's the transformation of everyone who believes, everyone who follows, everyone who celebrates the resurrection every time we gather at a table, every time the scripture is open before us, every time new life is able to be proclaimed. It is about us showing and telling people the good news. The scripture, the bread, the cup, the living presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we share. We share the same hunger Jesus did. A hunger that all people know the Word of God, the love of God, and the grace of God. Amen.